A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I feel like I have like an influx of ideas and we've gotten, I think, like an influx of suggestions too. So I, for one, feel like I have a lot of ideas and so many cases that I want to cover and just not enough time to do them.
I agree. And usually I am or text Amy and say, hey, do you have any ideas for VIP bonus content? And she will come up with something. But this time she was like, here's a case. This is what we're doing. Okay. And I'm actually really excited about it.
Yeah. Without talking too much about it, I would say that this is different from what we usually cover.
Totally out of our wheelhouse. And I'm excited for it. But yes.
And it's not something that I would normally be interested in.
Yeah, I could see that.
But it got me.
All right.
So stay tuned for that. That's coming real soon.
All right. So we're going to go back to a regular episode. So tell me what case you had today.
You guys are going to be so confused. And I'm so sorry. It's just the way that it happened. So the case that I'm doing today, right off the bat, is Doreen Marfio. And I know, we just did a Doreen. However, and it's an uncommon name. It's not like a Anne or a Susie or something like that. It's Doreen. I was just researching one of them and stumbled on the other, and I really got sucked in. So I said, I'm going to save it. And it just so happened to be back-to-back, but I was like, if anything, that's memorable, and that's all we want, right?
Exactly. And probably what happened was you saw the name and said, oh, it's another case from like 1950. Great.
Okay, so a little more credit than that. This is not 1950, but it is not from the 2000s. And I'm sorry.
It's okay. This is what we're used to with you, Amy.
I know. I know there's people out there like me.
Yeah, we love you for it.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. So I looked into this case, and there was I wouldn't go so far as to say a lot, but there were some articles and information about this case, mostly from the era that it happened in, which is the 1990s. And beyond 2000, there's really nothing. And I did discover that this was covered on Unsolved Mysteries circa Robert Stack era. So I had to go back in time to that. And that is where most of my information comes from. And what I found is that most of the information in articles take from that Unsolved Mysteries episode as well. Just so you know, that is the basis of a lot of this information.
Okay, I like it.
So I'm just going to get started then.
Yeah, dive right in.
All right. So Doreen Marfio's early life is, for the most part, unknown. It is known that she had a relationship with her mother, and it seemed relatively close. Didn't seem like there was any family disconnection or anything like that. At least that was noteworthy. Doreen did appear to have some schooling, which led to a job in the business field, to which she ended up growing and thriving. She was really good at what she did. Until her disappearance, she was working at the Rhode Island School of Design. In 1976, she met Stephen Marfio. And they immediately hit it off. They had a ton in common, and they both really loved the outdoors, and they loved keeping busy, so a lot of their time spent together was really active. They eventually married, and they settled in Johnston, Rhode Island. Stephen had a good job as well, so Doreen wasn't the only one doing really well in her field, Stephen was in the jewelry business. So for a number of years, things appeared to go well for the two of them, and I think they were together for a total of about 12 years before she actually did disappear, so most of those years appear to be great. Around 1989, what seemed to be a good life started to crumble a bit. Doreen abruptly quit her job. Don't forget, she was really good at it and pretty successful. And depending on who you ask or where you read it, it was slightly out of nowhere. She said that she just wanted to change. Although some reports did say that she made it clear that she needed some time to work on her marriage. Now, what that meant, I'm not really sure. And I don't think anyone else really knew either. If they were having huge problems, if they were having some minor problems, and she just wanted to nip it in the bud and work on it.
Yeah, but quitting your job is very, I don't want to say dramatic, but it feels dramatic to work on your marriage.
Honestly, yeah, that was my initial thought, was that when your world is chaotic and going awry, you tend to hang on or cling on to some stable things. They support you through it, right? So it, in my head, just seemed a little bit bizarre, for lack of better words, to quit your job, which is some stability there.
Yeah, and that's sort of how I felt too, but either way, keep going.
Okay. So firsthand interviews with Stephen, which is really taken from the episode of Unsolved Mysteries that covered the case, he stated that around this time, Doreen had changed, and there were some pretty dramatic changes, other than quitting her job. So she seemed to be struggling, and some of the stuff that he states seems like mental health, if it is accurate. And he stated that Doreen verbalized that she was worried that she was having a breakdown. Doreen would have bouts of not sleeping and crying and panic. He would wake up in the middle of the night to her crying and feeling very disturbed and appearing as if she's like very panicked, hyperventilating. And he says that she would often tell him that she wanted to tell him what was going on, but she couldn't yet, and that eventually she would tell him. He, in his mind, had attempted to give her space and let her deal with what she was going through. So I don't want to make it sound like he was inconsiderate or anything, but I think that he didn't put pressure on her to disclose whatever was going on or to push her to pull herself up by the bootstraps and just move on.
And you may get this later, but I'm going to ask you now. Did anyone ever find out why, what was happening in her marriage that required her to quit her job, or what his perspective of that was?
So part of that I'll get to in a moment, but in terms of like interviews with friends or family firsthand, there was nothing significant that anyone reported. That, for example, she had confided in her best friend that things were awful. Nothing like that, to my knowledge.
Okay.
On March 30th or 31st, now reports say within a couple of days of the last sighting of Doreen, so I can deduce that it was either the 30th or 31st, Stephen called the police to report his wife was missing. He actually reported that the last time he saw his wife was on March 29th. He reported that he saw his wife on his lunch break at home, and then he left and he went back to work. This is not something that sounds unusual. It sounds like he leaves, goes home, does lunch, goes back to work. He stated that when he returned from his workday, Doreen was not there and that her suitcase, some clothes, and a small amount of cash was missing. Now, mind you, they had money in a savings account and none of that was touched. It was just these few items. Many things that you would take with you were left behind. So makeup, toothbrush, toiletries. I imagine even bigger things like jackets or sweatshirts or whatever. She only had couple of blouses, a couple of pairs of pants, etc. Stephen claimed that he thought maybe Doreen needed to leave for a bit to clear her head and that she would be back. 2 days later, when Doreen had not returned, Stephen stated that he called Doreen's mother in the morning asking if she had seen Doreen. Now, she stated that she had not seen Doreen, and the conversation ended, leaving Doreen's mother feeling a little wary, like, that felt funny, or I don't really understand where the question came from, but nevertheless, probably kind of pushed that out of mind. But she didn't have to too long, because later in the day, Stephen called back, and at that point stated that he hadn't seen Doreen in 2 days. And Doreen's mother responded by saying, immediately call the police, and he finally did. So when police started to investigate, they learned that things didn't quite sit right with them, as you'd suspect, right? First, the fact that Stephen waited 2 days to notify authorities of his wife's disappearance didn't sit right with them. They also discovered that Stephen had suspected at least one time that Doreen was having an affair. There's never been any evidence that police have uncovered that supported any evidence of Doreen having an affair. But nevertheless, this is what happened. Also, on the day of Doreen's disappearance, Stephen's lunch break was also considerably longer than his usual 20 to 30 minutes. I believe it was somewhere in the area of 90 minutes. So in relation to the affair as well, or the alleged affair, Stephen had hired a private investigator to follow Doreen to determine if she was actually having an affair. It wasn't daily or anything. It was a couple of times a month, and nothing ever came out of it. There was no evidence that was ever found that she was having an affair. And I stress that because this is from the private investigator. This is from, I believe Stephen did say, like, they didn't find anything. And this is from what police investigated, and they were able to determine that there was no evidence of this. Stephen did admit all of this in interviews. He said he hired a private investigator. It wasn't as if police dug and they were like, wow, this is a surprise to us. Why wouldn't you tell us? He sounded forthcoming. He said he just didn't really understand what was going on with his wife. She was behaving differently, and he felt like there had to be a reason why. And he was determined to find out. So initially, Stephen seemed pretty cooperative until June. So remember, the end of March, she disappeared, and then a couple months later, we have June. And the police actually received two letters separately, but relatively in the same time period. One stated boldly that Stephen had strangled Doreen and dumped her body in a body of water. The second letter more or less discussed Doreen and her behavior, such as being a cheater and sleeping her way to the top. And actually, it sounded a little more derogatory than that, but I think that you can use your imagination in basically shaming her for alleged activities. Police actually didn't find any merit in any of the anonymous letters, but wondered if Stephen was responsible for them, which I guess we can get to that. So at this time, Stephen's like, oh no, I guess I better get a lawyer, and that he did. Nothing really came after this for a significant amount of time, other than Stephen continued to stay in the very house that he shared with Doreen. Additional information actually includes that there had never appeared to be any kind of struggle within the house. So police investigated. They went through the whole house, combed it from top to bottom, and there was just no evidence to support that anything sinister had happened there. No struggle, no nothing. So here's the unfortunate part. But also, depending on how you look at it, is it telling? I don't know. Around 1999, so this is almost 10 years after Doreen has disappeared, Stephen had left the area and told friends and family that he needed to work on himself. When Stephen returned, he found an ex-girlfriend and her new boyfriend, and he killed her and he almost killed the new boyfriend as well.
I'm sorry, what? Like, okay, I didn't see it going in that direction, but go on.
So, at this time, I don't know exactly the time frame, but I suspect that it's very shortly after this murder and attempted murder, Stephen drove to Connecticut and ended his life as well. I believe he shot himself and he was found in his vehicle. Perhaps it was either a park or a reservoir somewhere in Connecticut. He did leave a note behind that addressed some of the guilt he felt about Doreen, but never discussed having any involvement in her disappearance. And as of now, as of his death, there's been nothing new. Throughout the investigation, there did come to fruition a couple of sightings, but as I understand it, they were unconfirmed of Doreen. And I'm not exactly sure where she was allegedly seen. So there's not really much we can tease out there. But as of after his death, there was nothing else to point to where Doreen is or what her fate was.
All right. I like I said, I didn't expect that to be what it was. So can you give me the theories?
There are a few. Obviously, I won't play dumb here. Obviously, Stephen is one of the top suspects, or Stephen is suspected of harming or killing Doreen. The other theory is that she left her life. And I think that you could probably safely say that, at least I theorize, that if you're going to suspect someone leaving their life, that might go with dying by suicide.
I was just going to say, is dying by suicide an option?
Now, if we want to start with dying by suicide, I think there's a little bit of evidence to support it, but the same thing that we run into with a lot of our cases in this theory is, where is the body? If, in fact,
that's fair,
she is having these behaviors and she is actually stating, I fear I'm going to have a breakdown, then it's certainly plausible that she was having a mental break and she was unhappy and she was very scared and she could have left and died by suicide. She might not have wanted to take her life in her home or have her husband come home to that, for example. But I think there's a little bit of support for that. So if you're not taking Stephen's word, though, and you're looking at some other evidence, we do know that she left her job. And we both had said at the very beginning, like, even if it was working on your marriage, that still seems...
It feels very dramatic.
It does feel dramatic. We know that at bare minimum, she's going through something, whether it's her marriage or something else or mental break. Something's going on. Something's shifting. Something's changing. So that gives me a little bit of pause and says, okay, so that's possible, right?
Yeah.
I can't write that off, first of all. Then we have leaving your life. And I think this holds a little bit more weight than dying by suicide, even though we said, you know, we're not writing that off anyway. So Doreen is already very active. She lives outdoors. You know, she's very experienced. She's on the move. She's successful. She's obviously intelligent and smart. Now, she could have had a mental break and left her life. She could have been really unhappy and felt trapped in her marriage and left her life. Or she could have been in a, to what degree, I don't know, abusive marriage and felt that she had to leave her life. And I think a woman with this experience and smarts and ambition, she probably could have gotten away with that, I think. Now, she didn't take too much money. That would give me a little bit of pause.
Yeah, but if you're trying to... Well, no. Here's the thing. If you don't want your husband to think you left forever, and you want him to just think that you left, you know, get clear your head or whatever, not taking a lot of money would actually make sense. Because if you empty the bank account, then obviously he's going to be like, what's going on?
Yeah. So that's a valid point. Now, the problem I have with that, of course, is if she has this close relationship with her mother, and now, because we have the luxury of time passing, if Stephen died, and we know he did, why wouldn't she reach back out to her mother?
Maybe she didn't know.
That's certainly possible, but that's also the assumption that part of her running would have to do with Stephen, and it could have been that she was running because of a break, a mental break.
What year did he pass away in?
1999.
That's before, like, social media, really?
Yeah, no, 100% before social media. I think social media, just so we can really put it in perspective, didn't really hit until 2004, 2005. And that is just for college students and stuff like that. It really didn't explode until much later.
So she may not have known, you know, if she's not reading obituaries in her hometown.
Okay. So in all fairness, if she really left and was committed to leaving, then you might not have any interest in looking back. Also, if we're under the guise of she left unrelated to any particular person or reason and it was a mental break, she might not know to look.
So I was, when you were telling the whole story, thinking, like, basically, why are we having this conversation? Clearly her husband did something to her, right?
Yeah.
But then and when Amy texts me who her case is, right, the first thing I do is look up the Charlie Project, because that's what I do. The last sentence in the Charlie Project is, Doreen's mother, however, describes Stephen as a kind and supportive man and does not believe he's involved in her daughter's disappearance.
Yes. So that caught me too, and it's evident in the Unsolved Mysteries broadcast that she believes that as well. However, I'm unclear if her perception changed after Stephen's death. So I don't want to forget to take that into consideration. I don't know if she held that belief forever. But yes, when she initially disappeared and for several years after, she was kind of behind Stephen.
And that gives me pause as to think, like, maybe, you know?
Yes, but if this pushes us towards examining Stephen and his role, and we can start right with Mom, is she might be just looking at what she sees right in front of her. A man that's respectful, that comes into her home, that checks on her, that appears really great with their daughter. It might be, and excuse me, this is not meant to be rude by any means, but it could be just being naive.
Yeah, no, you're right. It could be.
If this is someone that she loved and accepted into her family, and he says, I did not harm my wife and your daughter, you might be more inclined to believe them. So while important, I guess when I started really teasing it apart, I tried not to get too wrapped up into it.
What do you mean by that?
So I guess I was like, wow, that means so much that she believes him. When I thought about it, I was like, don't get caught up in it. It could be just an opinion. It could have been a temporary opinion. It could have been pulling the wool over her eyes. So I didn't discount it. I just didn't put as much weight in as when I first heard it. Fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, so continuing to focus on Stephen, from the very beginning, I don't see reports or thoughts from friends or outsiders that they noticed anything awry. Now, that's not to say that things aren't. A lot of people go to great extremes to hide these things. They're embarrassed, they're ashamed, they're scared. It could have been something like that. But there's nothing out there, to my knowledge. So again, it brings me back to, it's only Stephen's word that she was feeling out of sorts, other than quitting her job. But if we're willing to take his point of view and call it fact, then that almost writes off Steven.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if we're thinking that this is dishonest and we have no other evidence of that, then it wouldn't surprise me that someone is chastising someone's character or behavior or struggle publicly in order to make themselves look like a martyr or a hero, that he was so understanding and that he really tried to give her space.
Do we have any information from any of her other friends or family about that?
No. So in Unsolved Mysteries, the only people that were interviewed, from what I remember just off the top of my head, was Steven and her mother.
So we literally get Steven's perspective only from Steven.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
I don't like that either.
No. And I guess what that tells me is that it's unlikely that Doreen didn't not have friends, but that nothing that they said provided any significant lead or theory. And then you go to, we can't forget that
I don't like any of
that
this.
Steven hired a private investigator. Now, it's very convenient, or maybe it's dead on accurate, that it kind of fits with, I didn't know what was going on with my wife. I had to find out. But if you were experiencing something like that with your significant other, do you jump to hiring a private investigator?
No.
I feel like a reasonable response is to call her mom. Say, I'm concerned. Is there anything I should know about? Call some friends.
And we don't have any information if he did that.
Correct. Mostly it was this out of the blue thing.
So I honestly think I'm 50-50.
Are you?
I think that either... Yeah, sure, it doesn't look good for her husband, right? He didn't cooperate with the police after they kind of went back to him and all of those things. Great. But her quitting her job, to me, is a sign.
Well, do you think that he could have really just gotten more controlling and he persuaded her to quit her job? Well, let's look at something that's, I don't know, you can consider it outlandish, maybe not. So they're married for several years at this point, or at least, to be honest, I don't know how long they had been married at this point. I think it's 2 years, but don't hold me to that. And maybe you're thinking about starting a family, and maybe she's not ready to do it. And maybe you're like, you need to quit your job and simmer down so we can start our family. And she doesn't want to do that.
I mean, sure, that's possible. But I feel like quitting your job is, like I said, pretty dramatic, especially if you're successful.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously no one knows what she told her employer, except for she wants to work on her marriage.
Right. Well, one report was that she, I believe, wanted to focus on other things. One report was that she wanted to work on her marriage. But then, okay, so here's the other issue. If you can accept all of that, okay?
Okay.
He ended up shooting an ex-girlfriend and he shot and killed her and then nearly fatally injured her current boyfriend.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So out of nowhere, this guy, again, assuming all of that past stuff is true, he becomes violent and jealous and enraged out of nowhere, like a complete character shift.
I mean, we both know the answer to that is no.
No, I don't think so. But if that had never happened, you could have me at 50-50.
So So that for you essentially does.
Absolutely. And then he leaves a note and says he feels guilt, but he doesn't actually disclose anything more. It sounds like such an abuser's tactic. Like, still, at the end, you're not going to give it up. You're still going to control and own it. The situation, that is.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second.
Okay.
What happens if the guilt was he thought she had a mental break and he wasn't there to help?
Okay, if I accept that, I still am trying to wrap my head around how do you go from nice, caring husband missing his wife for 9 years after her disappearance to I am an enraged ex-boyfriend and I'm going to kill you. So that is actually the event that has me on the side of 90% this guy harmed his wife, and I bet there was coercive control. There was perhaps physical abuse, but probably mental, emotional abuse.
So I'm like 50-50. No, I'm like 65-35.
Okay. Okay.
I still think that there's some sort of valid case to be made that she left.
Well, yeah, and then our last issue is where's her body? So it's been 30-ish years at this point, right? Where is her body? Where could he have gone? But then you have to also understand that he had 2 days. Now, I don't know if he was working in those 2 days. But he had some significant periods of time to drive a particular distance to dispose of the body. So I can't wrap it up without that. Obviously, who can? But
yeah, I don't know. I still feel like there could be, I don't know.
You know what? And I think you're right. And I think you're probably feeling exactly what investigators felt, is like this guy quite possibly had something to do with it, but there's a chance. And that's the reason, because we don't have any evidence to bring this guy in and start formally charging him.
Right. No, you're right.
So.
Yeah, I hate it.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. However, I still stand by, like, 90-10.
No, I'm still, like,
65-35?
Yeah. Because I think you can still make a case that it... she left her life.
And I really take into consideration what you say, more so when I reflect on cases like, and I'll say it again, Adnan Syed, when it looks really, really bad until you look at some significant details.
And that's sort of where I am. You know, like, sure, is it possible that he did it? Absolutely. But is it also possible that he didn't? Yeah.
So even though I said all that, I still really feel strongly about him being involved. But I would be the first person, if you came forward with new evidence, to say I was wrong and I totally am willing to hear the evidence and see where it takes us.
Yeah, so please, please, please tell us.
And I actually want to hear anyone who, in particular, who supports anything other than Steven, because I'm so close to 100% that I would love to hear an argument of why you don't think that fits.
Yeah, because I'm at the same place you are. Like, I don't know what else except for, like, the fact that she quit her job to me immediately gave me pause.
Yeah, right. All right, so guys, get involved in the discussion. And like we said, there is our bonus for Patreon. And keep the requests coming. We love it. And we literally put it into our spreadsheet, so it's not out of sight, out of mind. It's all there. And we hope that you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Talk to you next week with a whole new case.
All right. Bye. Bye. For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.